This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A debate over what to do with wretched Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. What is the future of home mortgage guarantee companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which fell apart during the financial crisis, yet live on? A prominent investor, Bruce Berkowitz, proposed last week relaunching Freddie and Fannie after pumping in new private capital. But the White House is now calling this idea a non-starter and backs a bipartisan approach advancing through Congress now. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Morning, Mitchell.
Good morning.
So what is this private sector investor proposing and what will it do?
Well, a group of hedge funds would basically recapitalize or invest new private cash into Fannie and Freddie shares. Now, remember, they used to be investor-backed with government regulation and a guarantee of the mortgages that they insured. Then the housing crisis happened. They were essentially insolvent. Government bailout, $188 billion. Pretty much everyone wants Fannie and Freddie off the government dole again. Christopher Mayer of Columbia University says this investor spinoff would sort of do that, but the government would still be left holding a lot of lousy liabilities from the housing bust.
So Fannie and Freddie has a lot of portfolio of troubled loans and a lot of past insurance and things like that. That would all be left in the existing entities, and what they would do is spin off the mortgage insurance part of this, which is the part that involves giving new loans or insuring new loans to homeowners.
Now, the White House doesn't like this, apparently. Gene Sperling, the president's top economic advisor, regards this as a non-starter. Why?
Well, like Christopher Mayer said, it seems like this would put the lucrative part of the business, mortgage insurance, which is actually making Fannie and Freddie a lot of money, back into the private sector. But there could still be the same risk as before that taxpayers might have to do a bailout at some point. These companies, again, would just be too big to fail. They're too important to the affordability and functioning of the U.S. mortgage market.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thank you very much. Interested in owning the domain name mutualfunds.com? Well, it could be yours for maybe $1 million. That's just one of more than 60 internet names being auctioned here tonight in New York. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has the story.
Ron Jackson is editor-in-chief of DN, as in Domain Name Journal. He documents about $100 million in domain name sales a year. Kosher.com went for $200,000 this year. So did AsianPorn.com.
Even as much information as we get, it's just the tip of the iceberg because the vast majority of sales are never reported.
He thinks the total could be $5 billion a year. Mark Ostrovsky bought MutualFunds.com 10 years ago. Buying and selling domains has been good to him. He sold Business.com for $7.5 million. He says MutualFunds.com makes him $10,000 to $20,000 a year just sitting there. People who happen to type in the domain see ads from Google, and he gets a cut of Google's profit.
So it's like owning a piece of real estate and putting on cars on the weekends for $25 a car so everyone driving by can see the cars for sale.
Now he's ready to let somebody else try to do something with it. He thinks Morningstar would be smart to pick it up. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
What do we need to make the American economy great again? Bright, creative minds who break the mold, or drones who show up on time, keep their desks organized, and keep to the corporate line? Marketplace economics guy Chris Farrell is worried that our high-tech-driven hiring systems discriminate against the creative ones.
The computer is the hiring hall, and the hiring boss is an algorithm. And there was this real hope that all this computing power and all this data and all this information, boy, we're going to really match up employers and employees. So you wanted really creative people. You just go on the computer and you can just find them. And what has turned out? Is the exact opposite. So you have managements wandering around saying, we have this huge need for skilled workers and we can't find them. And my response is, your algorithms are screening them out.
Now, in Northern California and Silicon Valley, to some extent, the culture there has adapted to help look for the iconoclasts instead of penalizing them.
That's right. Now, I know you spent a lot of time in Silicon Valley, and I was just recently there a few weeks ago. And what always strikes me is what a small town it is, where it's competitive, but you know who is who. And what you're really backing is character. It doesn't matter if someone's new enterprise failed two or three times. What's the mantra? We want to back somebody who's tried three times and it's failed, because the fourth time, they will have learned how to succeed at starting a business. And that's the kind of environment that creative, innovative people work, not this sort of conformity of the ones who have always done well and never did anything wrong and pass the algorithm test.
But maybe the problem isn't the use of an algorithm. Maybe the algorithm needs to be changed. Maybe technology could figure this out.
Well, I think there is some hope with the technology, and you're starting to see, for example, with LinkedIn, which is this network that has been growing and is much more of a hiring hall, and people are using it. And I think in the sort of sophisticated sectors of our economy, there's a recognition that the technology, it can help out, and you use it as a tool, but you really have to understand what are those assumptions underlying the data and realize that it's nothing more than a supplement.
Chris Farrell, Marketplace's maven of economics. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, David.
And two stories this morning from our beverage connoisseur desk. First from France, where on this third Thursday of November at midnight, people will crack open the first fruity bottles of this year's Beaujolais Nouveau. And from the Netherlands, there's news that alcoholics will be paid in beer to clean up parks. Two cans of beer to start the day, two at lunch, one after work. The Rainbow Foundation's project is aimed at reducing antisocial behavior in Amsterdam and is financed by government and charitable money. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.